Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today we have the author, Mary Carmen Englert, and she is talking about her new book, Seven Pathways. And really, this is all about helping us connect to God better. Sometimes we feel disconnected, or we feel like we can't hear His voice, or people say, oh, I hear from God all the time, and we're like, what in the world? How do you do that? And I think a lot of it is because we don't stop and make the time. And so we talk about some different ways that we can do this. She has seven pathways, and she talks about her journey with some pain and suffering that helped her really be intentional in these ways. And so we talk about also how to help our kids be intentional. We want our kids to be able to experience God in incredible ways. How do we help them do this? And I think these are some really good ideas. She has a lot of her stuff and resources on sevenpathways.com. So I encourage you to go there as well as to get her book, Seven Pathways. Please enjoy this interview with Mary Carmen. Hey, Mary Carmen, thanks so much for being here today on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. I'm so excited to talk about your new book, Seven Pathways. So tell us just a little bit about you and what inspired you to write this book. Tell us a little about your journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. I am so excited to speak with you, and I'm just honored that you are interested in Seven Pathways and can't wait to dive in. So yeah, just a little bit about me. So I am a native Nashvillean. So I'm from Music City before it was cool.
Before everybody else moved there, right?
Yes, before the whole country
right.
has been coming our way. I am also a lover of beauty. I love being outside. I love God's creation. I love art and beautiful things. I also, as a young person, just delving right in and getting personal as far as who I am. You know, I'm someone that started spending time with God as a teen at a very young age. I was on a midwinter retreat in eighth grade, and there was this booklet that the retreat was surrounded around the idea of my heart, Christ's home. Mm. And we went through each one of the rooms of your heart, and it just really connected with me. And I was at a point in my life that, you know, I was thinking more about choices. You know, am I going to hang out with these people? What kind of choices am I going to make personally? As far as, you know, am I going to, you know, what choices am I making with guys? What choices am I with friends? And how am I going to speak about people? Just those kinds of really things in my life. And how I'm going to deal with family situations. My parents were divorced and both parents were still single.
Were your parents Christians? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I grew up in a Christian home, and both parents were Christians. One was growing more in their faith than the other.
Got it.
And both, though, I will say for a period of time, were not walking as closely.
Okay.
So we were going, but yet it wasn't as, I wasn't seeing it in their lives as much. So at that point, one of my parents, my mom, started really growing in her faith. And so that was impacting me. So as a young person, not only watching her and see how God was like transforming her life, and then I had this amazing group of friends, a youth group and leaders. And so that it really connected with me because I needed help with forgiveness. Like I had a need. I was really struggling with forgiving my dad and struggling with anger. And I thought, well, I really want to have a better relationship with him. And I didn't know how to do it on my own. And mom would continue to point me, let's pray about it, let's talk about it. She would always say, you know, and want me to honor my dad and wanted me to have a good relationship. So I started seeking that as well. So that's a little bit about, without going into too much, I went into a little bit more detail, but it does give you a picture of how I was someone that had a need as a young person that really went to God. And I started building that history with the Lord. And so that a lot of who I am is someone that is building history, that really is seeing God work and move, whether it be in my personal life, or through, you know, professional life, love for kids, love for people, whether it be education, love for beauty and fashion, love for the God who is the great creator and designer. I see God as a very big God because he's a very majestic and beautiful God. And that comes from very much of my artistic side of me. And then I have this other very serious side and that loves to pursue learning. And so I've, you know, got a master's in education and theology and continue to study. And so that's how part of seven pathways and my interest in prayer, Bible study, and all those things. So that's a short answer to a shortish answer, I should say, longer.
Sure. What does my mother-in-law always say? She's like, long story short. And we're like, short story long. Like she always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, short story long. Exactly. That was right.
No, that was great. I love that just even at eighth grade that you were able to experience God. And I think sometimes I have an going into ninth grader and I think, how much are they like actually getting? And also I love what you said about your mom, like she was growing, and whether that was super, you know, obvious that she's saying, this is what I'm doing to grow. I'm assuming you probably just saw it in her life versus her telling you. So I think that's a real neat encouragement to parents out there who were like, are our kids even getting anything that we're saying? Are they even experiencing God at all? That you at eighth grade were already experiencing that. And it, you know, it really affected your identity, which is so cool.
Yes. Already started having that gospel, which is a very heady kind of term, gospel identity. Yeah. Started developing that in view that I was created in the image of God without putting a term on it, which now, you know, as an adult, I studied that because I was interested in what does it mean to be an image bearer of God. Just because the world is saying certain things about us, and then my interest in beauty as well. So I'm thinking, okay, well, how does this all relate? What does an image bearer mean? And what does that look like in my life to reflect his image and his beauty and the way that I live and think and relate to one and to others?
I love that. And I think that when I think about even parenting, like we want to be image bearers of God to our kids, which is so hard many times. So I love that. I love also when we were talking about your book, The Seven Pathways, I told you earlier that I very much resonate with your book and just love, and I don't know if it's more of the contemplative in me that loves that to slow down and to think about the different things. But you wrote this book, you know, in your introduction, you talk about something that happened in 2019 that kind of rocked your world. And this book kind of came out of that. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll share briefly about that. Yes. So basically I experienced it kind of a freak accident, you know, fell into the door frame of my car, experienced head pain, which a lot of us, you know, hit our head, bump our head, you know, bump it on a swimming pool, get into the car, you know, you just don't think about it. But then I started experiencing a lot of head pain and neck pain. And then from there, it progressed more in parts of my face and head. And then it took a long time because I just struggled for several years with pain. And then I had an awful life-threatening allergic reaction in that. And then steroids exacerbated that as well. And during that time, I started having more pain around my ear and the gland down my jawline. But at that point, still no one could really define what was going on with me after seeing about 10 to 15 doctors. So it was very you know, frustrating because I was seeking help. I was praying, had a lot of people trying to figure it out as well. But through it all, and I was frustrated because I was like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, at the same time, I knew that he allowed it because I know God well enough to know that anything in my life, especially that time when it happened, I was almost finished writing another book, which was a part of my master's on the theology of beauty. And I knew that God would not interrupt my life at that point if he didn't have a really good reason for it. And so I just tried to hear and listen. And he basically kind of gave me a picture that this was not going to be the easiest of all journeys. You were going to have to keep persevering and push through the fog, because there was a lot of fog. So what happened during that time is I started spending a lot of time in silence and in prayer. And really, silence became a welcomed friend to me, because I could do silence well.
How long did that take you to make silence your friend? Because I feel like that would be really hard for me, because I'm an extrovert.
I know. As so many of us, especially now in this culture, silence seems like an unwelcome friend many times. And it creates kind of that space of being like, oh my gosh, I feel a little nervous. I don't know what this. For me, because I was so exhausted and I didn't really enjoy being around people anymore as much either, because I had so much head pain, even to talk hurt, because that part of what I had, and I'll tell you in a minute, I had a form of cancer, and then it makes it hard to talk as well, because you can't open your mouth as well. It's cancer in your salivary gland, which is in your right parotid, and it affects the motion, your facial movements. So you're not able to talk as well, your mouth, your movements, and then it affects, your digestive tract, and then it created a lot of head pain as well. There are all kinds of nerves run through this gland here that go throughout your whole body. Anyway, those tumors are really hard to find, and it's called a senescent cell cancer. So it is rare. It's like 3 to 5% of the population has this cancer. But it leads into other forms. It's probably not caught really early because the cells mimic traditional cells. They're not as seen on CTs until more imaging is done. And then when you're in there, they see more as well. So it's a hard one to diagnose. Many doctors have said that. So back to silence as my friend. So for me, I like to hear, I like to listen, and I like to figure out what's going on, because I'm a thinker. So I was like, okay, I don't enjoy spending time with people. I'm not really enjoying this whole interaction thing. Is not fun anymore. I don't feel like myself. My head hurt a lot. My hair was falling out as a female, hair falling out. That's not really fun. Your face is all puffy. You were like, oh, you don't look like yourself.
And you're like, no, okay. Yeah, like, no, oh, kidding.
Thanks a lot.
It's like when people say, you look so tired. I'm like, why do people say that? Like, why do people say, thank you.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks. Yeah. I'm not feeling so great. So then for me, I just knew that being quiet and silent would be the most helpful thing for me, even though it felt maybe a little uncomfortable. But at the same time, I've been someone that really likes to, even as a young person, as mentioning, I like to pray and spend time in quietness, because it's very refreshing to me, because I do enjoy being out and giving my all. And even in living in New York City, where I lived for a long time, I mean, I loved it and I was out of it, but I also spent that time in quietness. And I think, honestly, God has given me that desire too. And it is something that I started practicing as a young person. So I will say that it's something that it comes over time, probably more natural because I've been doing it a long time.
Sure.
I've been doing it. That's why I encourage people, to just spend small amounts of time in silence. And if it seems so uncomfortable, what I did during part of my time was take silent walks, because that is super beneficial, but also not quite as anxious ridden.
Right. You're moving your body.
You're moving, mm-hmm. You're looking at like the beauty of creation. And that was super helpful to me, taking silent walks. And what it did, it reminded me, rather than just sitting there thinking, okay, God, speak to me. Cause that can be, most people are like, okay, I don't even know. Most people will probably say, I don't really even hear God's voice. And sure. All of us have been through times like that. We don't hear it too well. Often it's challenging to hear the voice of God. Yeah. I mean, no one, I mean, that's a whole different topic.
Sure, right. People are like, wait, I don't know how to do that.
But my point is not just hearing. You can hear it, but you can see it in creation. And what that reminded me of is that God, we have a majestic God. We have a God that has a lot of resources. He is not a God that is limited. And that's what kind of God, I feel like people think, you know, God, think about God as like small. We think of God in ways that are in human terms, but that's not that he's got all the resources in the world and he can do anything. And he does amazing things in the way he operates the world and creation. It just reminds you that God has abundant resources. You may feel limited at this time. Like I felt very limited in my life. Because of what I couldn't do, sure. A lot of my life was taken, but it reminded me, okay, you know, I may feel limited, but my God has unlimited resources and I'm not limited because he is going to pull his resources into this. And then what my situation is actually not, it's not an end and it's not like, oh, this is a closed door and end of the road. It's actually a bend in the road and bend in the road is a turn. He's taking me in a different direction. Lots of times when you go through things like this, it's a different direction. There's something major that's happening. Yeah. You look for it and you are seeking the Lord for it. So
that's a good perspective. I think when we hit those roadblocks, we think, oh, what is this for? And you kind of saw it a little differently.
You do have those moments of pain. I didn't enjoy, you know, don't get me wrong. Pain is not fun. It's very hard. It's very hard on you emotionally. It's hard on the people that love you.
Sure.
It's a hard thing. But in the midst of pain, you can find peace at the same time, trekking along. And then you can find purpose in it as well. They all work together because that's kind of how God designed life. Pain, suffering, and good things. Because of the fallen world, we have pain. And that's what people get so mixed. I feel like we get so mixed up in our culture because everybody presents my life is great. I'm social. Look at me, though, what I'm doing. And we all know that's not our reality.
Right.
But everyone that's closest to you knows that that's not your reality.
Right.
And so that's what, you know, we have to remind ourselves. That's why the Bible is so great. Stories about people that mess up. You know, and God talks about, I'm going to cast your sin into the depth of the sea in Micah. That's the kind of God we have. We forget about that. We're like, oh, he's mad at me. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to mess up my life. And I mean, like, that's not, we get all come in with all these misconceptions, expectations of God from our past and past relationships. And we put it onto God. Instead of taking the Bible and taking the relationships he set forth in the Bible and Jesus, then letting that speak into our relationships.
Sure.
And that's another thing related to that I was focused on. Okay, what does God say? You know, it's not what, you know, about my situation and getting his perspective.
Sure. So. Less about maybe how you're feeling in that moment and like, what can I learn? Okay. And I think that's a hard thing. I think it takes some time. So for anyone who's in the grief process or in the pain process, you know, we're not saying like you have to find the purpose in the pain right this moment, but there always is, you know, purpose in that pain. Hey everyone, it's hard to believe, but fall will be here before we know it. As you start to think about back to school, I want to encourage you to think about how you can be praying for your kids this year. We are parenting in a world that feels unsteady and confusing. Our kids face issues that we never even thought we would face when we were growing up. And so I want to tell you about the Christian Parenting 2023-24 Prayer Journal. It's now available. It's Marked by Prayer is a prayer journal from Christian Parenting that was created just for you. This journal will guide you in praying for your kids every week of the school year. Each week presents a new topic to journal and pray about. Topics include generosity, self-discipline, salvation, godly friendships, and more. So join us as we pray that our kids would be marked by God. Visit cpgive.org to request your school year prayer journal, Marked by Prayer. Again, that's cpgive.org. Request your copy of Marked by Prayer today. So tell me, so throughout these years that you were kind of dealing with the pain and kind of silence because you weren't your normal self and you didn't feel good. Yeah. Is that where kind of the seven pathways formed in your life? And can you tell us a little bit about those seven?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So the seven pathways, I actually started this about 16 years ago. It was in 2005. That's been longer than that actually now. We're in a different year. In 2005. Year after seminary, I was just at a place where I felt like I wanted to connect with God more than just the traditional reading of the Bible and praying. And I knew about these spiritual pathways. I thought, hey, I want to spend more time in silence and confession, you know, these things. So I started developing a plan of engaging through those pathways through the study of the book of John. And so I taught a couple of classes, and then I just kind of put it on the shelf. And honestly, it wasn't a place to really go into it as much. I wasn't ready because I wasn't living it. And then through my experience of God calming my life, calming all the noise in my life, stopping the direction, redirecting, I thought, oh my gosh. And God said, I want you to go back to, it's like when the noise stops, then his voice became louder. And he said, hey, I want you to go back. Remember that thing you started working on in 2005? I want you to go back to that. And I want you to start spending time with me that way. And I was like, okay, you know? And so that's how it began. So first of all, I spent time in Thanksgiving, because when you go through a difficult time, you can easily wake up and you're reminded of your limitations, your pain, because it starts up again. And you're like, and sometimes you just choose to ignore it. Part of the time I'm like, yeah, I have pain right now, but I'm going to choose to ignore it and focus on something else. What Thanksgiving does, it just realigns your thoughts to focus on goodness, the greatness of God, faithfulness, other people's stories, as well. So that for me was just a game changer for sure. I mean, I call it what's your five. So I started with, Thanksgiving, and then it moves into silence. Again, silence became a welcome friend, to have that moments of respite from noise and, just to hear from God, whether it be through the word or, listening to people, different things, quietening my soul, just to give him space to really get in, to have some room to spend time with me and deal with some things that probably needed to be dealt with. It moves into confession, because when you're silent, he reminds you of some things that you're like, oh, I didn't know that it was time to talk about some of that. And really that's what confession is, just, admitting wrongdoing and then taking a different turn. And it also, it's humbling ourselves. It's putting us in a posture of humility. It just kind of cleans out what I did say it. I felt like there were weights coming off in confession, and that's what confession, it pulls off kind of the weights of things that have gotten stuck in the skin, that didn't need to be there, just like ticks or things like that. Music was the fourth pathway. That was the way that I woke up to music. And then sometimes I'd listen to it another time as well. Music is a great way to wake up to Christian songs, thoughts, and that's what God honestly started doing. That I would wake up in the mornings and I'd have songs in my head. Just various, could be hymns, could be other songs, parts of songs. And it was like God speaking over me. When you go through a difficult time, you do need to stay in the pain. I mean, I talk about persevering and finding purpose, but you have to stay in the pain. You need to be where God has you. And that's where God had me. And I visualized a hospital. He gave me that image. It's like, you're in my hospital, and all the images of all the other people. It wasn't just me in the hospital, It's like all these other folks in the hospital as well. And God caring, looking over us, watching over us at night, attending to us. But he reminded me, you need to act like a patient. Don't act like you're, someone else. You need to be a patient. And that's when you're experiencing pain, you need to be the patient as well.
Letting God take care of you.
And posture yourself in a way to receive from him. And that's what silence does in these pathways. These pathways will help posture you in a way so you can receive from him.
Instead of always going, like for me, I'm like, okay, you almost have to, with our world being so busy, we don't make that silent time. And so if we don't make that silent time, we fill it with everything else. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of people will say, well, how do you hear from God? Like, I've never heard personally from God, but if I'm silent enough, I can see it in the birds, in the hummingbirds, in scripture that maybe I'll read something, or a friend will call me, you know, 5 minutes later after I needed a word. And it's just, it's sometimes it's just recognizing it. I think God is trying to talk to us all day long and trying to be in relationship with us, but we are so busy. I mean, I'm talking to myself, and so loud with everything. I mean, we hate even a moment of silence. We're on our phones scrolling, we're bored. So we, you know, I'm trying to help my kids learn this too, is like, I notice that there's even a moment of nothingness, they're grabbing a phone or they're grabbing something to fill their minds. And so I think it's so important that we're modeling this, but we're also teaching this younger generation of, hey, it's okay to have this silence so that God can speak to us, so you can recognize, you know, his voice. I think some of these will probably come more naturally, you know. I'm just going to read your list just so in case people kind of missed it. So you talk about thankfulness, silence, confession, song, prayer, Bible study, and Bible meditations. And did I miss any? Is that that's right?
Biblical meditation. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that those, I think teaching those to our kids is so important too, like helping them figure that out before before they get our age and they have to, they figure it out again. And some are easier than others. What out of those things, I know you're kind of sitting in that pain. And so you were forced to stop. Some of us are not forced to stop. So help give us some advice for those of us who maybe aren't, are just running and gunning, but we want this very deep relationship with God. How do we make space? What would be your advice to those who want to make that space for God?
Yeah. Okay. I would say two things come to mind. I would say, first of all, need to prioritize it. So you first of all need to prioritize it and set aside some time for it, because it won't happen unless, like, if you don't put it in your calendar, it's not going to happen just with anything. So you've got to prioritize it. And then, secondly, I would say, I was going two different ways here. So secondly, I would say, you know, looking at the list, I would pick two out of the list, and then I would spend
work
some
on,
time.
Spend some time.
Yeah, I would work on those two. You don't want to do all.
I like that you said that.
You don't want to do all at once. And then this is where I'm going with the other way. There are a couple of ways to answer this question. So the other way is, I've designed a plan of how to spend time with God through these seven pathways, studying the Gospel of John. And so it's a whole, it covers every chapter, and there are prompts for each one. So for silence, there's a prompt related to the topic of the day. It's generally a chapter or half a chapter of John. And then for the Bible study portion, we cover just a summary, a little bit of application, interpretation, some takeaway, some questions, prayer, and then meditation. So I've kind of, in a sense,
done it for us. Helped us.
What I'm saying is, you can't, I do want you to do it on your own too. Yes. Because there are ways to incorporate these in your own life on your own, taking, you know, a couple at a time. Or what I'm saying is, I have a whole plan of how to do that through the study of John, and it gives you a plan of engagement surrounding God's word, because that's how we primarily know him and hear from him, because since he's in heaven with Jesus, he's left his word. So that's our primary method of knowing him.
Perfect. And how do we get that plan?
Yes. So you can get that at, that plan can be at two different places. You can find it on Amazon through a physical workbook version of it, which also has a facilitator's guide at the back, and it's designed to be a 6-week study. And great facilitator's guide. You can do it with a small group, grab some friends, someone at church, a group at church, a community group.
And it's called Seven. Is it the Seven Pathways?
It's called Seven Pathways Journey Through the Gospel of John.
Okay, great.
Very similar.
I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yeah, so the cover is very similar as well. Okay. And they are designed to complement one another. Great. It was one whole book.
Okay.
The book got so big, we had to separate it.
Okay.
So that's what really happened.
Okay.
And so it can be also found, it's on Amazon currently. So you can buy both books on Amazon. And then the online experience, which will be the Seven Pathways Journey Through John, the same experience without the facilitator's guide will be on our website at sevenpathways.com in August, towards the end of the month. And that's where you can experience it on your own. We have these great design containers for each day, each pathway. It'll track with you, create a user account. And if say you finish on John 3 day, somewhere in confession or silence, it'll stop right where you are. It'll pick back up the next day. So it's great. So you don't have to figure out where was I, or feel bad, like, oh, I can finish all that. But it, and that's a great resource, because we hope to each year then add another study. So next year, on a different book of the Bible, using our Seven Pathways approach. And then as we grow more, you know, a couple each year. So it's a much larger experience than, say, just one book study on John. This is a way to engage with God through studying scripture, any books of the Bible, through all these pathways.
Could you, as a parent, so I'm thinking for my kiddos, like for me as a parent, could I go through this and then figure out a way to kind of help my kid, like my kids and I could take something. So whether it be like thankfulness, like we've done this before where we, you know, write down five things that we're thankful for every day. And I need to get back to that. Or help my kids, you know, sit in silence for a certain amount of time. Or, you know, I'm just thinking as parents, like I want to help my kids. Yes. I wasn't really taught this when I was growing up. I was in a great Christian home, but this has been so amazing for me, these types of practices, and I want to make sure and teach my kids.
Yeah, I know. That's a great question. And one day I would love to do teen versions or kid versions as well, because I do think it's important. And I did give that some thought to that question, because it is an important one. And so, yes, the answer is... there are a couple of things you could do just off of what I've been thinking about regarding this. First of all, okay, you could do this together as with your kid there, but you would need to in the study, because the way it's designed, the summaries could be, as long as someone is, you know, 10 or above, they'll be able to understand it really well, even younger. So, but you would just need to adjust, like say, write down a couple of child-appropriate, age-appropriate discussion questions, prayers. So those, I mean, honestly, the whole thankfulness, science, most of it could be done as a family or with your teen. It just would need some amendments. But also going back to your point as far as doing these things as a family, you mentioned thankfulness. That was one thing. In prayer that I was going to mention. So this is what I, you know, what helped me as a young person too with prayer is I had a journal, and I wrote down people that I was praying for, and then I would write their prayer request, and then if there was an answer or something like that, that is one way to help teens just start praying for people, writing down who they're praying for, and that was really helpful as well. But also as a family, thankfulness, a great thing to do, like you said, at dinner or anytime, is to just talk about things we're thankful for.
I think that's a great, I've been journaling. I had a friend who did a journal of five things she was thankful for every day, and then five prayers. And I loved a prayer journal anyway, but that was just super easy. And then what I've loved to do is to go back and like check off the prayers that I've seen God answer. And some of them have been so quickly. I think sometimes we just don't ask and we're not specific. And so sometimes we don't get to see the joy of him answering. And as we know, when our prayers are answered over and over, we build strength and resilience and faith based on whatever we're going through. So if we go through a really hard circumstance, we can go back and say, well, he answered this, so he's with us. And I want my kids to feel the same way, to know, okay, oh my gosh, I remember when he did this for us as a family or for me, he's going to be faithful. And so just helping them understand that. So I love this for that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're so – that's the best thing to do is to model that. That's what I was going to say, model to your kids, like – what you've written down to your family, and share how God answered that. That made the most difference in my life as a teen, hearing how my mom had prayed for something and then how God answered that for our family as well. So that's what, more than just talk, the kids really need to see you live it. They need to see you in silence, spending time with the Lord, see you reading your Bible, praying together, and then modeling prayer together. That's so important, to pray with your child. And if they're having a problem as well, it was really helpful to sit down and pray together about it. Okay, we're going to talk to God about it. Let's write it down and let's see what God does, you know. So, and that was really helpful in prayer, because, and that's part of Seven Pathways too. There's a whole way to, I suggest certain things to pray for in each day, just to remind them that it's not just praying for your needs, your immediate family, it's your extended family, it's your friends, your community. And it's so important as a young person to see that prayer is much, it's communication with God to get, to further his plans and purposes outside of just your particular space and what you want. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a part of what God's doing in the world. And that's what the gospel is about. It's being gospel, changing our lives, and then gospel living and gospel mission, being gospel mission minded as well.
Yeah, to change that. So, that's great. Yeah. As we kind of wrap up, I'd love to know, I know you, we've talked just about lots of different things, and people, this might spark people's interest. I'm so excited for them to get your book, Seven Pathways, or even the study of John. I'll put everything on the show notes. But would you tell us the website again? And then also, could you just let us know, you know, what do you want people to take away? You know, after they read this book or after they hear you talk in the different interviews, what would be the important thing that you want them to take away?
Yeah. So the website is sevenpathways.com. And as far as takeaway, I just want people to know that they have a big God. He's not a limitless God. I mean, he's not a limited God. We have a very large God that loves them exactly where they are. They can start this journey with God today. They don't have to clean up their lives to do it. And I want them to know that this is it. I'm just here to help as a mentor, a guide. These pathways are meant to help guide you and move as you move with the Lord. And, you know, God walked with us in the garden. You know, that's, God is a God who walks with us. And sure. I want them just to be reminded that that's, you know, the God that we have, that Seven Pathways is here to help you walk with God. Mm-hmm. And what that looks like is restoring your life, restoring your heart. And so that's the main thing I want people to take away with, that we're here to help you connect more deeply with God. That's what Seven Pathways exist for, the sole purpose, to help you to connect more deeply with God through these spiritual pathways, so that you can grow and thrive in the life that God intended for you.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for being on, Mary Carmen, and I'm so excited for people to get your book. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Mary Carmen, and I just want to thank you for being here each and every week. At the end, I try to do a little B-Love quick tip. So what are some things, some takeaways that we can get from this interview? Obviously, we can't do all the things, but here might be just one little thing you can do. What I would do is go through the seven pathways and pick one thing this week that you can focus on. Let me tell them to you again. It's thankfulness, silence, confession, song, prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Pick one of those different things and focus on that. Maybe it's writing three things that you're thankful for. Maybe it's sitting in silence for 2 minutes a day. Maybe it's starting the morning off with praise music. Whatever it is, pick one of those and try it. Thanks again for being with us. Thanks for being love and doing good in your community. We'll see you next week.